developing story. Yesterday in Toronto, Serena Williams won her first match in 430 days. And today she's hinting to the world that she may retire in the next few weeks. She spoke yesterday after her match. Take a listen.
Just a light at the end of the tunnel.
What is that like?
I don't know. I'm getting closer to the light. So that's... Yeah, so that's like lately that's been it for me. I can't wait to get to that light.
I know you're joking, but can you?
I'm not joking.
Okay, so then explain to me what the light is to you, what the light represents.
Freedom. Yeah. I love playing though. It's like it's amazing, but you know, it's like I can't do this forever. So it's just like sometimes you just want to try your best to enjoy the moments and do the best that you can.
The GOAT posting her new Vogue cover titled Serena's Farewell, looking stunning per usual, on her Instagram and saying, Vogue September issue cover, there comes a time in life when we have to decide to move in a different direction. That time is always hard when you love something so much. My goodness, do I enjoy tennis, but now the countdown has begun. I have to focus on being a mom, my spiritual goals, and finally discovering a different but just as exciting Serena. I'm going to relish these next few weeks. Ugh, I can't believe we've come to this. On that note, we welcome an ESPN tennis analyst, Brad Gilbert. Brad, thank you so much for making some time this morning. Tell me this, what was your initial reaction to Serena hinting at possibly hanging it up?
Well, I was kind of shocked this morning when I saw it, and then we read her article that she penned in Vogue. I love the word that she used. She's not retiring. She's going into the next evolution of her life. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a lady that turned pro in 1996, like when she was like 13 years old. I mean, her longevity is just absolutely incredible what she accomplished in her career. Coming from Compton, barely playing any juniors, to becoming the most iconic tennis player of all time.
Yeah. Brad, you've coached some of the greats as well. How would you describe Serena's impact on tennis and just sports at large?
She brought attention and she brought fans to tennis that probably really had never, you know, been fans of tennis before. I mean, just an incredible career, amazing competitor, fierce advocate for women, just did her career incredibly, and she's going out on her own terms. And the fact that she got to do the entire career with her sister, maybe one of the most underrated stats ever is her and her sister are 14-0 in Grand Slam finals and doubles together. You know, they won 3 gold medals together. It just, in all told, Williams sisters won 62 majors combined. I mean, I put her on the last 30 years of the Mount Rushmore. I mean, we've got Serena, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, and then maybe you can put in a Michael Phelps, a Bolt, you know, but if there's only 4 on it, she's on it over the last 30 years. Just an amazing career.
No, we don't use the GOAT word lightly. And it's going to be so sad to see her go in tennis. But at the same time, I know we'll be seeing a lot more of her in different arenas, which is extremely exciting as well. Brad, thank you so much again for this time this morning. And also, happy birthday to you, sir. I hope you have a fabulous day. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me this morning.
Okay. And now we will move on to another superstar making news, and that would be one Kevin Durant. So the Brooklyn Nets owner, Joe Tsai, voiced his support Monday night for the front office and coaching staff after Kevin Durant told Tsai to choose between him and the team's general manager and coach. Tsai and Durant recently met in London, ESPN sources confirming, in a story first reported by The Athletic, and Durant reiterated his desire to be traded and suggested the franchise needed to choose between him and coach Steve Nash and general manager Sean Marks. He also weighed in on the Durant drama, tweeting this on Monday night, "Our front office and coaching staff have my support. We will make decisions in the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets." And look who is here, fresh off just European cruising. How are you doing?
I'm good, Molly.
How's
it's good
your
to be
summer?
Back. My summer's been really good.
And where have you been? Because you haven't been in this country.
I it's important to expand our horizons and to take in other cultures.
And you're living your best life?
I'm living my best life.
Don't tell all the secrets now. Don't tell everything
you
now.
Can leave
I'm very
it at
happy.
That. You can leave it at that.
Hi, Key.
Hello. How you doing?
As long as he doesn't call you auntie.
Right. Let's just see how he acts today.
That on our show, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What should the Nets do next?
All right. Molly,
yes.
Key, Jay, I don't understand, and I trust and listen to Tim Bontemps, who's a terrific reporter, mm-hmm. and this morning Tim says this is a layup for Josai. I don't think it's that simple. I think that everything should still be on the table for the Brooklyn Nets. Here's the conundrum that is well documented. They have not been able to get what they want in terms of trade value for one Kevin Durant, mm-hmm. right? And yes, he's still under contract for 4 more years. And yes, he may have to show up to camp. But what if this thing gets escalated to a point where KD is opting not to play because he hasn't been able to be moved to another team? To me, you explore this because this is possibly a better way to save the value that KD brings. And to his credit, when we watch KD when he's healthy and invested, we have not had to question his reliability. So if this is a way to ease things back a little bit, I think it's worth exploring.
Are you talking about both Sean Marks and Steve Nash?
Yo, everything is on the table for me, Jay.
Yeah. I don't mind exploring Steve Nash. I don't know how I feel about letting go of Sean Marks, knowing what Sean Marks did in order to make it work for KD and Kyrie and what pieces he's been able to bring to the table around them this year in order to make them a contender. But I do tend to lean more towards in your direction mm-hmm. for a moment okay. because I think if I'm not getting the value, I'm not trading him first and foremost. And I'm not trading you to a contender. We can go through them. Miami's not willing to give up Bam Adebayo.
Exactly.
You want to play with Jimmy Butler. I'm not taking Tyler Hero on Duncan Robinson and Kyle Lowry and replace it for you, KD. Mm-hmm. They don't even have the draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto, maybe, but they don't want to give up Scottie Barnes. Mm-hmm. And if I'm Brooklyn, I really want Scottie Barnes. And Boston, I'm not doing it with Jaylen Brown and Derek White and draft picks. I would want Jaylen Brown, Marcus mm-hmm. Smart. Mm-hmm. I may want Robert Williams mm-hmm. in that. So I may be willing to explore the Steve Nash side because I'm not sure he's the right personality coach in that position in the first place to get us to where we need to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I'm talking to KD more about how do we meet in the middle here. I hear what you want.
Okay.
Here's what I want. I can't get any value in return, Key. And let's find middle ground and let's go win a championship.
Okay. All right.
I'm down to do that.
I can get with that. But the idea that this is signed, sealed, delivered to me, I'm like, how, y'all? How? Key, how?
Well, I don't think anything is signed, sealed, delivered. What I would say, though, is if I'm dealing with the Brooklyn Nets, I'm on the Brooklyn Nets side, I've got to get maximum value whenever that is because I can't continue to hold on. And you keep hearing everybody talk about the Nets and they should do it this way and they should do it that way. Think about this for a minute, Monica and Jay. If you're the Brooklyn Nets, right, and you really want Kevin Durant, you really want him to be there and you make the decision, you're going to fire the head coach and the general manager or one of them. Kevin Durant's going to have sign-off on the next guy. Kevin Durant ain't going to just sit there and allow you to put Jay Will in the seat. He's not going to do that. He's going to want to have say on the general manager as well as the next head coach. Are you willing to give him that?
Key, what I'm willing to do is sit down with KD and say, hey, look, there's been a certain style that's been in place since you've came here.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to give you a seat at the table, and I'm willing to take in all the input that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I have to make the right decision for my franchise. And also, you should want that.
I agree.
You should want that. Look at everything that's happening to. We talk a lot about LeBron James trying to be a de facto GM, even though it's led him to 4 championships, right?
Works.
He's probably better at it than anybody else currently playing in the NBA,
message.
Even though the Russell Westbrook thing has happened. That's fine. But at the end of the day, like, isn't that what we've always said that would be the best for a guy like Kevin Durant to have an owner or a GM? It didn't say that about, that's why Pat Riley would be great for him. Somebody's like, yo, look, this is the way it's going to be. And this is what we need to do. I think it's time that the Brooklyn Nets kind of asserted themselves and got that power back a little bit.
So, and it's interesting. I was waiting for somebody to use the power word, because I think the way that we have curated this conversation, to me, is a little bit unfair. Am I saying that every player should walk up to their owner and say what they do or do not want? No. But we can't act like this league has not been trending toward this type of conversation for years now. I'm not going to clutch my pearls because he had a conversation with the owner about who he wants in place when they joined the squad in September 2019 and Kenny Atkinson was out in March 2020. So this is just the next iteration of that. To me, if there is a legitimate relationship that can be built there and is trusted, I'm with you, Jay. Yes, he's going to want to have say on the next guy that's hired. He had say when Steve Nash was hired. So this is not new. So I don't know why we're sort of reeling. This is just what you do for what? A handful of guys in the league in terms of trying to maximize value. To me, if value is the bottom line, you have to explore this conversation because the trades are not there.
But how many times are you going to allow, as an owner, Kevin Durant to have say? The first time he had say, as you mentioned, Monica, Steve Nash was the guy. Now, all of a sudden, you want Steve Nash gone. Okay. So if we get rid of Steve Nash, and again, we bring in Jay Will, is that going to make you happy? Or 10 games in, you're going to be like, get rid of Jay Will and bring somebody else in. But that's not the biggest issue. He want them both gone. He don't want just one. He want them both gone. He mentioned both, Jay.
I know, but Key, that seems to me like that's a hard flex, man. That's like,
how could it be? How could it be?
Get rid of them both. He was just praising Steve Nash a couple of months ago.
So what happens? What happens if? What are you gonna go with you, Kevin Durant? What you gonna go to Sean Marks and say, "Oh man, I just used your name. I really didn't want you gone." He's got to deal with him. He's got to interact with him. They've got to build a roster together. He's not gonna want to deal with him.
I see, and that's what I'm not sold on. I think, and come on, y'all are athletes. I think that there is a path back if we decide we're working toward a common goal. I think that's legit, and when it comes to sports, right? Like, all right, we got to put this behind us. We need to move forward and try to capitalize on this window. My only thing—
He just called for his job, though.
Okay, so but Key, let's go down Jay's path, right? Let's say that something happens with Nash, nothing happens with Marks, but we're now in a position to move forward. KD can't do this forever. We just talked about Serena retiring. He can't do this forever. He knows he needs to take advantage of the window that's in front of him. If the only path in terms of reconciliation is to work together, I would believe that they would do that. Now, the other what if we could go to is what if he decides to hold out? Then are we then seriously having a conversation about the front office versus a guy that's just holding out for the next however? He has 4 years on his deal. If he just holds out, then what? So that's why I'm saying everything has to be on the table.
I'm just saying, Key, I hear exactly what you're saying. I just know, and I've seen a lot of basketball, you've seen a lot of football, we've seen a lot of the greatest athletes ever to walk this planet. I haven't seen a player like Kevin Durant in the game of basketball ever. 7 feet.
I understand.
Could do all the dribble moves, could dance with it. The most efficient scorer ever to play in the game of basketball, maybe besides Michael Jordan. I'm just not letting that walk away. I'm fighting all the way to the end. I'm
trying
to take it to the point where if you decide to hold out, then we will get to that. We will get there when it happens. We'll have to deal with it. And we're going to find a way to work through that.
No, I ain't
going to let it happen.
And they should wait to the very last minute to do anything. They don't have to do anything today. Season doesn't start until September 26th or whatever it is in training camp. And they can wait till the regular season starts. They don't have to do it today. But Kevin Durant will not, in my opinion, be on the Brooklyn Nets roster at the end of the season this coming season. I don't believe so. I believe he will be dealt for whatever it is that they can get because the cat is out the bag now. Everybody knows for the second time he's already demanded that he wants out. They can't sit there and say, well, you got to give us all this back because there is no all this back to get. You only can get what you can get.
So you take a bad deal. You take a bad deal and keep your front office.
Well, if you don't if you get, but look, I almost called you Kevin Durant, Monica. But look, Monica.
Shout out to DMV family. Shout out to PG County. See Pleasant.
But look, Monica, if I don't take a bad, you call it a bad deal. It may not be a bad deal because it's the last, that's the only thing you can get. If you fire your front office and your head coach, you are setting a precedent for other star players in the
NBA.
We've
been setting this precedent for years. Here we are,
play ball.
The same way you got him is the same way you can potentially lose him.
But wait, we talking about firing coaches. Now we're talking about general managers.
That's what I'm
That's a different equation.
Manager.
That's a different equation than a coach. We've seen coaches all the way back. You weren't born back then, but Magic Johnson asked for Paul Westphal to be gone. Dr. Jerry Buss decided, I'm moving on from this guy because Magic Johnson is more important. He didn't move on from Jerry West. He moved on from the head coach. So my whole thing, we've seen LeBron James do it with Blatt. They moved on. That's a coach, not a general manager. He's asking for both.
Well, just because you're asking for both. I ask for a lot of things in my life. Doesn't mean I'm going to get it. Right? So all I'm saying is you can ask for it. That's what I'm saying. The compromise is the head coach. And that's Steve Nash. So find somebody suitable to help you win. And my thing is at the end of the day, even if you do, I'm curious how Brooklyn will be like, all right, we'll trade you to Toronto. We're going to take away all of Toronto's assets. And you know what, Kevin? Good luck with the rest of your career. Like, is that the best move for Kevin Durant? To go somewhere that has depleted of an entire roster and just play basketball and dwindle away in his last years of his career?
Now that is,
Don't you want to win a championship? I know that's what KD's always about. Like, don't you want in the face of all odds, be able to look people in the face and say, for a guy that barks back to you on Twitter all the time, say, you know what? In the midst of hard times, we figured out an answer. And look, I just won a championship, damn it. Right here in Brooklyn, the hard way. It wasn't easy, but we did it. There's something to be said about that.
No, I was going to say, I think that that boat has sailed, though, Jay, on the we're going to do it in Brooklyn. I think that's over with. I really honestly think the dream of the Brooklyn Nets and the championship with KD and Kyrie and Ben Simmons, that thing is gone.
It has been kind of rough.
Can I say something?
Harden left and then Ben Simmons. It does feel like party's a little over.
I do feel like we've been waiting for somebody to lead this team for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Like, I would ask you guys, and Molly, who's the leader of the Brooklyn Nets?
Questionable, question mark.
Like, I'd like to think Kevin Durant.
Sometimes.
So this is my thing. Somebody needs to lead them as a team. And I think that needs to be Joe Tsai. And it has to start with him from the top down. Because they've shown the ability not to be able to lead each other.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to take on that
role. According to Kevin Durant, it's not the coach or GM either.
We going to see.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. It was a tough rookie season for number one overall pick Trevor Lawrence, but much of it out of his control, like the shaky leadership under Urban Meyer. But it's a new year with a new head coach, Doug Peterson, who's had success developing quarterbacks. Lawrence, one of the many young guns looking to make that significant jump in his sophomore campaign. This year, he's approaching his prep far different than last year, though. Trevor, talk to me.
Compared to last year, I had a full offseason to really work on what I think I needed to work on. You know, last year, finished your college season, you know, had surgery. I'm out for a while, can't really train. And then it's prepping for, you know, the draft and all that stuff. And just a lot of stuff going on. Didn't feel like I could really get my body in shape the way I wanted to because of the surgery. I mean, I was in shape, but as far as my arm, I would have liked to be a little sharper. I feel like my arm got a lot stronger this offseason. And then just mechanics, I worked really hard on keeping everything tighter, more fluid in my motion, working on all my arm slots, all that. I just feel like the ball is coming out really from every angle the way I want it to. Obviously, you're going to miss a few every now and then, but feel the best that I felt.
good to hear. Trevor finishing the 2021 campaign among the worst in the league statistically. Out of 31 qualified quarterbacks, he finished with the fourth lowest QBR in the league and struggled with his accuracy. Lawrence also averaged an NFL low 6.1 yards per pass attempt. But it was his rookie season. He's a number one overall pick. I will ask you this, Amber. Will Trevor show the most growth among these second-year quarterbacks?
Well, no, because if we're talking about most growth, then I would choose somebody who has the most growing to do. Now, Trevor Lawrence had a terrible rookie season. He got a pass because of all the drama that happened there in Jacksonville. But he at least played, and he played for the entire season. Trey Lance, that's a guy I've only seen play for a couple games. So when we're talking growth, yeah, I'm looking for it from Trey Lance. Last year, 31 of 52, 441 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions, three sacks, no fumbles in just two starts for Trey Lance. Trey Lance also takes over the best team out of any of these second-year quarterbacks. That's key here. So he is set up for success. If Jimmy Garoppolo can do it, I think the overall consensus is then Trey Lance should be able to do it even in his sophomore season. He set up for better success than Trevor Lawrence. He also has a lot further way to go than Trevor Lawrence. Again, not that Trevor Lawrence was good, mm-hmm, but I saw it for more than two games.
Ooh, Amber, I love you being here on the show with us. I love it. Let me dip into my legal pad here. So the sample size is so small for Trey Lance that, Key, when I hear growth, I think about, okay, I need a larger body of work to know where I'm really starting. I don't know where I'm really starting with Trey Lance. I keep hearing about all these incredible things that he is. I've seen little splashes here and there in those two games, right? But I've seen more of it in college leading into the NFL. But still, you can question a smaller school in college and where that's led up to ultimately. When I think about growth, I think about, okay, a larger sample size, me understanding where you are. Now, you can throw Justin Fields, even though I think losing Allen Robinson, losing some of his other wide receivers due to injuries, even Raquan Smith, I think there's a mess going on in Chicago right now. But still, smaller sample size to a degree, considering what we saw last year with Andy Dalton. I think about Zach Wilson. Okay, well, losing Mekhi Becton, that really hurts your O-line, your protection, but I think he's kind of in that category. But to me, I go back to Trevor Lawrence because I understand the talent that comes along with Trevor Lawrence and what he is. And I've seen him last year under the tutelage of a head coach who was a complete mess, who used fear-mongering to lead. And I saw the way he held himself together, even though the numbers weren't great, and he kept himself afloat in the midst of chaos. So I do believe that the most upside with the larger body of work that gives me a better staple of where he actually is Trevor Lawrence, because I think for Trey Lance, Amber, I still don't know who Trey Lance is. I haven't seen enough, unless you would consider two games to be a larger sample size.
No, but that's the point. We have no idea if Trey Lance is good, which means he has the furthest place to go in terms of growth. So if we're talking about growth and we're talking about a team that at one point it headed into what, the fourth quarter, I think with 10 minutes left, they had something like a 10-point lead in that NFC championship game. This is the team that was in the Super Bowl a couple years ago and also coughed it up in a similar fashion in the last 7 minutes. That's what Trey Lance is walking into. What is Trevor Lawrence walking into? I mean, what he walked into last year was a dumpster fire. But even this year, I understand the Jags were big money spenders in the offseason. That doesn't always translate in the win column by any means. This Jacksonville Jaguars team still has a lot of rebuilding to do. I do think Doug Peterson is the right coach to get the most out of his quarterback. We saw him do it with Carson Wentz. But I just don't believe in the Jags team surrounding Trevor Lawrence nearly like I believe in this 49ers team surrounding Trey Lance. So I don't actually know if Trey Lance is going to be good, to your point, Jay. But if he is, the growth factor will be so much more monumental because he's got so much more ground to cover.
There's no question that Trey Lance is on a better football team than Trevor Lawrence. I think we could end that argument right there. I think when you look at these young quarterbacks, these second-year guys, these sophomores, you talk about Mac Jones and the New England Patriots helping them make it to the playoffs. That thing over there, they got to get figured out from an offensive standpoint. I understand that. You talk about Justin Fields in Chicago. I don't even want to mention him. I push him to the side because this is really, truly his freshman year, not his sophomore year. And then now you go on and you move on to Zach Wilson. I don't really know what that is. It's still, the jury is still out on that. We're still trying to figure out what he is. They've certainly went out in the draft and done a tremendous job to help him out. Trey Lance's situation is different. I don't really know what he is. We got to wait and see. So I don't see how he could have a huge jump, even though he has growth and the ability to be superstar in this league. Trevor Lawrence, on the other hand, is interesting because he came in with such high praise, even though when you go matchup to matchup against Justin Field in college, it was a different situation at Clemson. It was college football. His freshman year in the National Football League, he won 3 games. He lost 14. We all know what Urban Meyer was all about. You mentioned, Amber, Doug Peterson. Different mindset, different foundation, different culture with Doug Peterson. Not only were they big spenders out there, they went and got players that actually played in the National Football League, like a Zay Jones from the Raiders, like a Christian Kirk from the Cardinals, like an Evan Engram from the New York Giants. And on top of that, he gets his former teammate and Travis Etienne from college back in the lineup and healthy. So you look at James Robinson in the running game. You start to look at what they've assembled around Trevor Lawrence, on top of having what I would deem as a quarterback whisperer in Doug Peterson, not too far removed from the Andy Reid tree. So it's kind of like, I like his chances of showing major growth at the position, doing everything right. Doesn't mean the Jaguars are all of a sudden going to challenge the Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans for the division. It just means that he's going to look different than he did a year ago at the quarterback spot for Jacksonville.
Peterson can be considered a quarterback whisperer, I'm with you, except for Trey Lance, he doesn't need one, right, walking into that Kyle Shanahan system, because it's already set up for a quarterback that doesn't have to be the hero. We saw it with Jimmy Garoppolo. We see it right now with a trade market for Jimmy Garoppolo that's been unbelievably stagnant. I understand in part because of injury, but also in part because most people consider Garoppolo a mediocre quarterback. Trey Lance doesn't have to be generational. He doesn't have to be Tom Brady in order to have success there with the 49ers because of the way that Shanahan's system is set up. Debo got paid. Trevor Lawrence doesn't have a Debo Samuel on his team. He's just in such a better position to succeed right now than Trevor Lawrence is.
I just kind of look at guys like Justin Fields and Trey Lance, not in their sophomore campaigns, but more in their rookie campaigns. Like, there's just something to be said about, you know, your rookie year, going through all the ins and outs, going through all the media, having every single snap, being that person as a leader for the locker room. So for me, I think having a complete full season allows me to have a base of where you are and then where you grow from. And I think I've seen that from Trevor Lawrence, despite seeing that from Trey Lance.
Here's what I would say about Trey Lance. He certainly can grow over time throughout this season.
Yes.
Week 1 to week 6, he's going to be a different quarterback. 6 to week 9, a different quarterback. I'm not saying he can't get it done, like you said, Amber, with the offensive system set up, with Brandon Ayuk, with Debo Samuel, with Kittle at the tight end position. We know they like to run the football. Their defense is solid and sound. They need to shore up the back end. And they do got a pretty good coach in Kyle Shanahan. But it's something different when you are sitting underneath the center as a young quarterback. There's all sorts of things that's coming at you in week 7 that didn't come at you in week 1 because you got 6 weeks of film on you now. Mm-hmm. How will he respond to those sort of things versus a guy like a Jimmy Garoppolo that everybody just thinks, oh, Jimmy Garoppolo's just a guy. No, he's just, he may be just a guy, but when you're just a guy, you got to do some things right. He won a lot of games for the 49ers. He played in 2 NFC Championship games for the 49ers, as well as a Super Bowl. If he hits Emmanuel Sanders instead of 3 yards in front of him, and he hits him, we're not even talking about Trey Lance right now. You want to know why? Because they've given him a $300 million contract extension. They can't go out and draft another quarterback. But because the situation happened the way it is, we're having this Trey Lance conversation. And I think he'll be good. I just don't know when.
Okay, fair enough. Mac Jones looked pretty good in his rookie campaign. But as for a sophomore campaign, not so sure, ladies and gentlemen. We're hearing some reports. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is this your first time on the show?
It is. It's my first time.
I knew
time.
With me it was. Yeah, you've been exceptional. Keyshawn, I guess he forgot about you.
He's not even paying attention.
Keyshawn, do you even have Twitter?
Oh, yeah, he's active.
He's active on Twitter. Oh,
I've seen him there.
Yeah, I'm not active on it.
I'm going to check out. What's the account name?
I see all your pictures from all your vacation stuff online.
Vacay pics.
That's not me.
That's somebody taking pictures of you?
No, I don't have that app on my phone. Why would I do that?
He has other people for that.
Staff. Yeah, you got people.
Yeah.
I don't have time to get caught up
in what people say.
No, I just don't have time in the silliness.
His people handle that.
Arguing with people and looking at negativity, and I don't have time for that.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll handle trying to set up this next topic, and that would be the New England Patriots. So the departure of longtime Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels this offseason has had head coach Bill Belichick changing up the team's offense, and it doesn't seem to be going so well. The offense struggled during Monday's practice with false starts, incompletions, had trouble protecting Jones in the pocket. The Patriots offense sputtered out of the gate in their first six games last season, but found their form. Over the final 6 weeks of the season, the Pats led the NFL in scoring offense and red zone efficiency after committing to running the football as they had one of the best ground attacks during that 11-game stretch. Key, I'm going to start with you. Are you concerned about Bill Belichick, these New England Patriots, Matt Patricia calling the offense? I don't know what Joe Judge is doing. He's doing something. Yeah, do you have some concerns, sir?
No, I really don't. It's training camp, and offenses are typically behind in training camp versus the defense, and things are set up for you to try to have success. I mean, the defense, look, first of all, the defense, they know everything that's getting ready to happen in offense possessions, in practice, in training camps. It's all scripted. They know where I'm going. I know where they're going. So I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about Matt Patricia. I understand Matt Patricia was fired by the Lions a couple years ago. He didn't come back with the Patriots with glowing remarks. I get all of that. I understand that Joe Judge was fired from the Giants. He's not going back to the Patriots with glowing remarks. The last time, if I can remember correctly, that Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots didn't necessarily have an offensive coordinator, they went 11-5 or 10-6, and I think that was either in 08 or 09, if my memory serves me correct. So I'm not really worried about it right now. I'm just not at all. Not at all. Not one bit.
Who was the quarterback back then?
That's a great question.
Keyshawn
Johnson. I think 1 year might have been Matt Castle. I think it was Matt, but I could be wrong. But I knew you were going to say, well, it was Tom Brady. It doesn't matter. Tom Brady wasn't calling all the plays.
It does matter when you have a Mac Jones who had a good rookie season, fine, exceeded expectations, I would say, in Bill Belichick's system, went to a Pro Bowl. But you're talking about him coming into his sophomore season on a team where he doesn't even know who his OC is because Bill Belichick always thinks he's smarter than everybody. And when we knew that Bill was smarter than everybody, it was when he had number 12 on his team. Okay, and we cannot forget that here. So he brings in Matt Patricia. I don't care about Matt Patricia's record as a Lions head coach. Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, let's toss out their head coaching resume. Matt Patricia is a defensive guy, and you're going to trust him with the play calling? And so, yeah, I do think it's a little concerning here that the reports out of
training camp is that everything looks disjointed. I know he is known as a defensive specialist, but there's cross-training with all of the New England Patriots' assistance on how they do things. When you become a bright mind defensively, it's because you have to study all the offenses in the National Football League to really have a true understanding. And look, I can say this, right, and people go, oh, well, yeah, now you're saying it because Bill Belichick is one of the greatest coaches to ever do it. Bill Belichick actually started on the offensive side of the ball as an assistant coach and then eventually came to the defensive side.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine, but Bill's not even calling the plays right now. It's Matt Patricia, apparently, who's tasked with that at the moment, at least we think. Because Bill
they're working
who his coordinators
together.
Are, because he's so much smarter than everybody else. This is a Bill Belichick who used his first draft pick on drafting a guard.
I know what this is.
Bill Belichick so much smarter than everybody else.
Angry Dolphins fan just came out of me right now.
I figured it out, Molly. I figured it out. She's an angry Dolphin fan.
I figured it out. I loved it.
I'm not angry anymore because the Dolphins are going to be better than the Patriots this season. Oh. So I don't have to be angry.
Wait. Can I pause there? Do you really believe that?
I do really believe that because I don't think the Patriots are going to be anything special this season,
but
frankly.
I just read the end of the season. They finished with the best scoring offense.
That's great. They also lost, 47-17 in a wild card game?
True, but you do.
This last postseason. And in a reaction, Bill Belichick didn't really do much at all to shore up that defense.
Yeah, but the one thing you don't worry about
as much. I love the aggression that just came out at me.
Oh, it was so personal. Yeah, I love it. The one thing you don't worry about with the Pats is their ability to execute, right? Their ability to execute when time gets in the trenches. And we have still yet to see how Mike McDaniel can build that culture with the Miami Dolphins. Look, I am worried about the Pats. I mean, when you hear things like their offense looks broken, they can't protect. Key, I get that because I've heard you talk about this multiple times about how the defense understands the entire playbook and what they have. But I also seen this team, essentially last year at times, hide Mac Jones. And you have heard Mac Jones talk a lot about his relationship with Josh McDaniels. And there is a good cop, bad cop scenario. I wonder how quickly that relationship is able to then turn over towards Mike Patricia, and all of a sudden how Bill Belichick is able to then come in and exude that kind of confidence and build that rapport with his starting quarterback. Like, that doesn't just happen overnight. I think there's going to be a pretty big learning curve for this team and for their quarterback moving forward.
Look, Mac Jones spent 9 months with Josh McDaniels and the offensive staff. He spent about 9 months with them learning the system, understanding what it is that they wanted to try to get done. The constant for the New England Patriots is Bill Belichick. As long as Bill Belichick is there, they're going to do things the way Bill Belichick feels they should do. And I understand, again, people are looking at Matt Patricia and going, oh, my God, how can he call plays? What are they doing? We don't know the way they're going to divvy up things come the regular season. For all we know, one guy handles the run game. One guy handles the red zone. Another coach like Troy Brown handles third down.
Okay, that's
These are the sort of things that take place on coaching staff. So all I'm saying is don't be alarmed because there's reports that they look sloppy.
Are you projecting how many in the teams?
I do believe that they're going to be in the second position in the AFC East behind the Buffalo Bills and probably get that 6-7 seed again in the playoffs. I'm not
I don't believe the Dolphins can do it, Amber.
I'm not sure you
Amber
believe it.
Amber does not
Well, it's just funny because he's talking about how we don't know how this is going to be split up, these duties. And I'm thinking, well, we would know if Bill Belichick would just tell us.
Yeah.
You know?
But he's never
going to
tell you anything.
Keep us all on the Dolphins.
I wouldn't tell y'all nothing either.
We got to go to break.
Oh, what does Keyshawn Johnson know about football?
Amber's intense right now. Keyshawn's about to get intense. Apparently, he was hot about a conversation we had yesterday. He's got a bone to pick.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
New Orleans Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas took the next step in his return to football on Saturday. Thomas participated in 11-on-11 drills for the first time since the end of the 2020 season. Thomas suffered an injury to his left ankle, and before his football hiatus, Thomas was one of the league's top wideouts. Do you think Michael Thomas can be a top 10 receiver again?
No, because, and it's no real slight on him. It's just that so many other guys who have been producing in the time that he's been gone, they're higher on the list for me.
There is a lot of wide receivers in the NFL. You cannot put him in a top 10. You can't miss 2 years and all of a sudden come back and you're a top 10 receiver. You can't do that. You got to play.
Keyshawn Johnson, you can't miss 2 years and then all of a sudden be a top 10 wide receiver. The floor is yours.
I didn't know he missed 2 years, but I guess maybe my calculations are off. I thought he only missed a full season last year. I thought he participated the year before. He was in and out of the lineup. That's what I thought. I thought he played in the playoffs. But what do I know? Maybe I'm missing something. And look, I can't listen to them from yesterday. Not at all. About who is a top 10 receiver. First of all, how did all these receivers pass up somebody based on what, statistics? Or are we saying this based on statistics? He's on the outside looking in because he had zero catches and somebody else had 85 catches? Is that the reason? Because if that's the case, then we shouldn't even be having this conversation. As far as the talent go, he is certainly a top 10 talent at the receiver position. He will be a top 5 dude by the end of the year, both in statistics and talent. I don't even know why I'm even having this conversation, to be honest with you. It's mind-boggling. A guy misses time, and now all of a sudden, he's not a top player anymore.
He didn't just miss time, though. It was significant time, Key, that he missed. I mean, we're talking about a player that gets injured at the very beginning of 2020, right? You mentioned it. In and out of the lineup, never the same, not a very good season for him. And then you're talking about missing the entire 2021 season because he went ahead and finally got that surgery. This is significant time. This is no small thing. The problem is for Michael Thomas is he set the bar so incredibly high. 2019, though, was a while ago. Yes, that season, it's one of the best seasons we've ever seen in NFL history at that position. He won Offensive Player of the Year. He led in touchdowns. He led in receiving yards. He was phenomenal. That was 2019. It is 2022. And Key, the last time he did play, who was throwing him the football?
Well, look, Drew Brees wasn't at his best when Mikey was playing. Drew Brees, there was many people 2 years ago inside the Saints organization felt that Jameis Winston should have been the starter, but they were not going to do Drew Brees that way. And I know this matter of fact. I know it. I'm close enough to the situation. In 2019, no, he's not going to duplicate that. Even if he was fully healthy in 2020, he was never going to duplicate 2019. He won't duplicate that because that's not what they're looking to do. But as far as him being a top flight receiver, he's still there. He missed time. It was his ankle in 2020. He tried to play. He tried to. He couldn't go. It wasn't where he was sitting on the shelf for the past two seasons. I give you 2021. He didn't play. He missed the entire season. There's no question about it. But if you've seen him now like I've seen, and I've been around him enough to know, the fire is burning in his eyes. He's excited about Chris Olave and Landry. He's excited that Jameis Winston is the quarterback.
Go ahead.
He's excited about everything that they're doing. I'm just telling you.
Tell him, baby.
Jay will know. He's been around me for a couple years now when this topic comes up about my nephew. I'm going to tell you whether or not he's any... I'm going to be honest with
but
you.
That's what we're
I'm not
going
to play games with it.
But Keyshawn, I get what you're saying 100. About Michael Thomas. I get what you're saying about your nephew, and I get you're saying how he looks so good, the fire's burning, et cetera, the talent's still there. But what about Jameis Winston throwing him the ball? Are you excited about that?
Absolutely.
I
think Jameis Winston gets a raw deal because you can go all the way back to college, his problems he had in college personally. Then you look at the personal problems he had in the pros early in Tampa and then the 30 interceptions that he had in Tampa Bay. A lot of people don't look at everything. They just look at the final number. You got to discount them 30 interceptions because part of them was receivers running the wrong routes, receivers dropping balls. Even Chris Godwin said that. And then you look at him in New Orleans under Sean Payton and Pete Carmichael. He was a better quarterback in that short period of time than he ever was in Tampa Bay. And I think he carries over.
I agree with you, Keith. There is something to say about Risk It, Biscuit, right, with Bruce Arians. I said that correctly. I may have butchered that, but fine. If I did,
no,
I
Risk It, care. No Biscuit.
Well,
no,
we're acting it. Like Evans and Godwin aren't great receivers. I mean, what are we talking about? Like, we're putting it on the receiving core in Tampa Bay? It's happening.
No. Chris Godwin, Amber, said this 2 years ago, that if you discount them 15 interceptions, part of that was the receivers tip balls, balls being thrown a certain way they couldn't catch. That is running bad routes. You have to accredit some of that to the receivers. He didn't just throw 30 interceptions to the other team. There's no way he did that. But we don't talk about it enough.
Key, just give me the damn mic. I got to go to commercial break. More First Take after this quick break.
I can't stand you, Molly.
What? I need you're just like ball dominant, ball hogging this show. I mean, I thought Stephen A. was bad. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. All right, before we close things out, first of all, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for your
work. Excellent.
Bravo.
You can rush first time easy. I really appreciate it.
You got to come back on again, especially when Stephen A's here. Thanks to Key as well. He already said goodbye. But our major story today was, of course, Serena Williams hinting at retirement. Just talk about an icon.
Oh, an absolute icon. And if this is the end for her, as she's about to turn 41 in September, she's got nothing left to prove on the court. But I would imagine that her impact is far from over.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, you know, I think a lot of times when we try to qualify people, like, oh, she is one of the kings of sports.
Yeah.
Kings
period.
Of sports, period.
Yeah, not even.
Like, no, that's what I'm saying. King. I'm not even doing it. Yeah. It's the highest possible level. Yeah. That's what she represents for all sports.
Yeah. And I'm really interested to see what she'll do next. Okay. I know she has her own fashion line. She's obviously dabbling in a lot of businesses as well. But she's going to continue to be the GOAT now in other arenas. Yeah. You know how she is.
Yeah, I think she'll be the Oprah of all sports. Storytelling, too.
I like that. Okay, Jay.